We'll try that now. That sounds better. Man, I have a great voice, don't I? Appreciate that. Like I was saying, it might be a passage of Scripture that's really familiar to you. Talked to a pastor today and is talking about the things that God had done this week and the way in which He has come and He has spoken to you. And I just kind of felt like after getting off the phone to go a different direction and to think about this passage of Scripture tonight instead of preaching a passage out of the book of Proverbs. And so maybe God is up to something. God is doing something in this place tonight. Again, my name is Rick Hillard. I do work for the State Convention of Baptists in Indiana. I have the privilege of being a Hoosier. I've spent 52 years in Indiana, and I want you to know that I love Indiana. There's nothing more that this old boy wants to see than God doing a big thing in this town and God doing a big thing in the state of Indiana. I want us to be a people that are just sold out, loving Jesus and following Him and serving Him. But I'm also not a fool. I recognize the time, I recognize the day and the age that we find ourselves in, and I know that we're not where we need to be as of yet. But God has spoken, and He has something that He wants to share with us tonight. It's always been my habit in all these years of preaching the Word of God that every time I read the Word of God, I ask the congregation to stand in honor of the reading of God's holy, His inerrant, His infallible Word. We're going to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're going to take up reading in just a moment or two, verse number 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 and following, the Bible says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open, and my ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place." Pray together. Heavenly Father, we love You so much, and we thank You for the privilege that You have given to us tonight to gather here in this place. Father, I pray that as we gather here, that Your Spirit has the freedom that He needs, God, to speak to each of us. God, may each of us say that we have encountered You in this place tonight. God, I do recognize who I am. God, I know that I am just a man, and I'm recognized, Father, that I have the great privilege of standing here in this place tonight preaching Your book. And Father, I pray that as Your word is sounded forth today, God, that it would find a lodging place in each of our lives. Lord, fill me, please, with Your sweet Holy Spirit. Oh God, please, give me that heavenly unction. For it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray, and it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I preach. Amen. Thank you. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. And Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Now all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Pretty heavy nursery rhyme, isn't it? Have you thought about that nursery rhyme? Humpty and Mrs. Dumpty one evening decided that they were going to go on a walk in their neighborhood, much like in this town tonight. And Humpty, being a young, athletic, strapping young fellow, came upon a wall and he wanted to impress Mrs. Dumpty. And so Humpty decides that he was going to climb that wall. And there he climbed the wall, and as he was sitting on the precipice of that wall, something catastrophic happened. The reason we know that something catastrophic happened is because Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. And there he lay. Humpty Dumpty lay broken up all over the ground. Now, Mrs. Dumpty did exactly what every Humpty Dumpty loving person would have done. She tried to gather up all of the pieces and put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But Mrs. Dumpty was unable to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And so she did the next best thing. She decided that she was going to go and get the government involved, and all of the king's horses and all of the king's men tried to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, but alas, no one was able to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. What is the moral of that nursery rhyme? What do you do when the people that are supposed to be fixing the broken up people are just as broken up as the broken up people are? What do you do in that situation? That's where we find ourselves in 2018. The people that are supposed to be fixing the broken up people. Oftentimes we find ourselves just as broken up as those broken up people are. And I submit to you tonight, that ought not be so. It shouldn't be so. God doesn't desire it to be so. Kind of interesting when you think about this passage of Scripture. This passage of Scripture that we have just read in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning there with verse number 12, is applicable to that particular story. To understand a little bit what is transpiring here in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, you need to know that times are good in the nation of Israel. They were walking in a good place. They were living spiritually high on the hog, if you will, as far as their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon's temple had just been finished. The dedication sacrifices have just been consumed. It is a high and good time to be an Israelite at this particular time. But even though it was a high and good time to be an Israelite at this particular time, God realized that it wasn't always going to be the case. And well before they needed the answer, well before they needed the cure to what ailed them, God spoke to them in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, telling them what they need to know when they become a group of broken up people. How do you put it back together again? And that's what he has for us tonight in this place. I believe, I pray oftentimes, all the time, I pray asking God, oh God, would you please do something great in Indiana? But I love this state. I love this state, and I want to see revival just sweep in our state. I get consumed with that sometime. I've always been a student. One of the things that I've been a student of is I've been a student of the movements of God throughout history. And I've seen and I've read over and over and over God moving throughout history, bringing revival into a certain group of people. In fact, God has brought revival fairly close to our region. God brought revival to the Wheaton College campus a number of years ago. God is a God that wants to bring revival, but from every amount of study and research that I can come up with, no one is able to point a finger upon a time that God brought revival to Indiana. Us Hoosiers never had the opportunity to experience a sweeping move of God in our state. Why is that? How come? It breaks my heart because I believe that God speaks to us in these verses of Scripture. Tonight, we're going to take a little bit of time. I hope you'll keep your Bible open because we're going to be learning and looking at some things in this passage of Scripture. I'm going to give you 4 points tonight, and then we're going to conclude with a time of application, maybe a time of invitation for you. 4 things that I want to call to your attention here as we look at these verses of Scripture. The first thing that I want to talk to you about in these verses of Scripture is this: the reason for revival. Notice what God says here in this passage of Scripture, beginning with verse number 12. It says in verse number 12, "And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, Hey, Solomon, I've heard your prayer. You've done good." And then he says, "I have chosen this place as my house of sacrifice." He says, "You have built this temple for me. You have dedicated this temple to me. I am pleased with what you have done. I choose this temple to be the place where people can get in touch with me. I'm going to choose to reside here in this place. When people want to find me, they will know that they can come to this place and they can find me." But notice what immediately happens now in the next verse of Scripture. Notice what immediately happens here in verse number 13. Verse number 13, he changes the subject. He changed the subject from them being at a good spiritual place to them being at a place of need. And notice what he says here in verse number 13. It says this: "If." What does the word "if" mean? When you look at the Word of God, when you see "if," you will need to know that it's always talking about a conditional statement, right? This is going to happen, and if this happens, it is a result of an action somewhere. And so what he says here in verse number 13, "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain." They were doing great at the time, but God says to Solomon, when it gets to the place where you're not doing so great, you need to understand something. If I shut up heaven. What is he talking about here in these verses of Scripture? Of course, we know in these verses he's talking about a drought, right? Their society was a little bit different than what our society and culture is. Their society was a society that depended a whole heap on rain. If the rain came, it meant that their crops would grow and that their stock would be able to have the water that it needs. And so if there was no rain, there was going to come a time of drought in the land. Okay? There was going to come a time of great need in the land. Notice what else he says in verse number 13. "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain," and then he says, "or if I command the locust to devour the land." I believe in a literal interpretation of the Scripture, and I believe he's literally talking about here locusts that would come in and take over the land. We don't understand that much because of our insecticides or pesticides that we had, but they did not have the ability to control locusts like you and I have the ability. And when locusts would come in, you're talking about swarms of locusts that would come in and they would devour everything in their path. Every green thing that would grow, the locust would devour. Notice what he says next. "And if I send a pestilence among my people." A pestilence, of course, would be a disease. Something that would strike their body physically and leave them stricken in health. Okay? Something that would render them useless as far as health is concerned. I'm 52 years old now, and there are some things that have kind of humbled me in the last few years. In the last 3 or 4 years, there's some things that have really humbled me. In case you haven't noticed, some of you wear glasses. I wear them. Didn't used to. And you know what? If I didn't have these glasses on, I'd be struggling reading this tonight. I need them. You know, what can I do about it? Eat more carrots? Are you serious? What is going to cause me to have my sight? It is really humbling to me. Not only am I losing my sight, but I can't hear any longer. We've had this big struggle, this fight almost, in our house because my wife thinks I need a hearing aid. What? Yeah. You know the story, right? I cannot hear. If I have a radio on, I have it maxed up. If I have a television on, I have it all the way. I can't hear. You know what I had to break down and do? I had to get hearing aids. And don't any of you tell my wife I'm not wearing them tonight, because I'll get in trouble. But that is a humbling thing for me that I can't do anything about. You see what God is saying here? God is saying, Israel, you need to know that times are going great right now, but just in case a day comes, just in case a time comes when things are no longer going great, okay, in case there is a reason for you to need revival. Now, I don't want to spiritualize this text in any way whatsoever, but any person can see that in the United States of America in 2018, we are at a place, there is a place that we are at that we desperately need God to move upon us like He's not moved upon us before. We need revival. You see what He's saying here in this text? Solomon, if there comes a time that you need revival, see how contemporary this is? Notice what he says next. After verse 13, he talks about the reason for revival, and then he talks about, in verse number 14, the responsibility of revival. Notice what he says. First thing he says in verse 14, who's responsible for it? We are. If my people. Now, you know, I'm pretty good at pointing fingers. You know? I'm pretty good at saying if those folks would just get it right. You ever do that? Am I the only one that does? You know, we need to take ownership of this thing. If revival comes, you want to know why it will come? It will come because we take ownership of it. It won't come because some other person in the other part of town takes ownership of it. If revival is going to come to Huntington, it's going to come because of the people sitting in this church become desperate enough that they seek God's face in order for revival to come. You know what? We all the time, we Christians, man, we're really just so very good at just thinking that if unsaved people would just start acting like they're saved, it would be a much better place to live in. You know what? If lost people, unconverted people, just start acting right. If that drug dealer would just stop dealing drugs. If that criminal would just stop committing crimes. If that alcoholic, if he'd just stop drinking. This world that we're living in would be so much better. But we never stop and say, if we would get it right. You understand what I'm trying to get you to see? This is talking about Rick Hillard. If Rick Hillard would do what I want him to do. You know, we moved a couple years ago. I moved to took a job for the State Convention of Baptists in Indiana. For the previous 11 years, I served in Northwest Indiana as a pastor up there. And God asked me to, would you consider coming on staff for a state convention and helping pastors, ministering to pastors? And, you know, I answered that call. I said, yep, I'll do that. And so we had the opportunity to move. So I moved from Valparaiso, Indiana. When I lived in Valparaiso, Indiana, I lived in the middle of a subdivision. In our subdivision, there were 742 units in that subdivision. And, you know, I'm just not a subdivision kind of person. You know? And so my boss said this, Rick, you can move anywhere you want to, but we prefer you to be about half an hour from our state convention office. And so I said, okay. So you know what I did? I bought me some acres right smack dab in the middle of the woods. My house is right in the middle of the woods on several acres. I didn't want any subdivisions. I want to live in the woods. So you know what everybody that needs when they live in the woods? You got to get it, what Hank Williams Jr. said, what? A shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, right? I've got all of those things. But also in that song, it talks about, I live back in the woods, you see, with the woman and the kids and the dog. I didn't have a dog. So I decided, I'm getting a dog. So I did. I got a dog. Got a boxer. It was an inside dog. Every once in a while, we'd let the dog go out. We live in the middle of the woods. The dog got to be able to go out by himself. So we let the dog out. Dog would go out and do his business and come right back, and scratching at the door, wanting back in. But one day, the dog went out and didn't come back. And I got to thinking, where's that dog at? So I went out looking for the dog. And I was standing in my front driveway, and my driveway's kind of long, goes kind of down to the road, and I see the dog trotting up the driveway. Right behind the dog was this dude in a pickup truck. And he comes screaming up my driveway, and I'm standing there wondering, what in the world is going on here? And this guy jumps out of his truck, and he says, is that your blankety-blank dog? And I said, yeah, that's my dog. He says, well, I'm going to shoot that, several curse words in a row. And then you know what that did to me? I got just an aggressive trait in me. And let's just say that I responded in an inappropriate way. Now, I didn't cuss at him. I did not raise my voice at him. But I did threaten him with violence. And I was about, you know, he and I were just about to go around. I ended up saying, you know, sir, you've come up here to my house and you're cussing and you're raising your voice at me. You know? And we kind of put that in its place really quick. And that's been about 2 years ago. And just about every day, I think about that. You know what I think about it? I think, man, I wish I would have handled that much differently. I wish I would have handled that more God-honoring. You know what? I can't control that old boy in the pickup truck. But you know who I can control? I can control Rick. Okay? Maybe I ought to stop pointing my fingers at others and start pointing the finger right back here. Hey, Rick, my people. And I want everyone in this room tonight, I want us to understand this full well. Do you know who God holds responsible for the spiritual condition of Huntington, Indiana? You. You see what I'm trying to get you to see? It's you, and it ain't nobody else. It's you. You are responsible. So in this text, we notice the reason for revival when things are not going like they used to be going. Second thing here in this text, we see the responsibility of revival. Who is responsible for it? Not an unsaved person, but a person who knows Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. The third thing that I want you to see in this text is the route to revival. Notice what it says here in this text. Verse number 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall do what? Shall humble themselves and pray. I like to put those two things together. Humble yourself and pray. To me, humility goes a long way as to how you're going to pray. Oftentimes in my prayer life, I pray something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I love you. Thank you for this day. Now give me, give me, give me. And my prayer, it becomes about me submitting my grocery list to God. But that's not the kind of prayer that we're talking about here. The kind of prayer that we're talking about here is humble prayer. Prayer that's not about submitting your grocery list to God. It is prayer that is about seeking the very face of God. God, what do you want? What do you want? God, what do you want from me? I'd love to be able to tell you tonight that I'm right there. And you know, I think I am. I think if God would speak something specifically to me tonight, I really think that I would say, okay, I'll do it. I might not be the best at it. You know, I might not be the smartest that can accomplish it the quickest. But I think that I'd say, okay, Father, I'll do it. And I think that I've got to this place in my life that it's not about building my kingdom. You know, it's simply about following the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray that's where all of us are. That we will humbly seek the face of God. Do you see what God's saying here? He's saying, okay, Israel, things are going really well right now, but just in case there comes a time and there comes a day when things are not going well, I want you to know I hold you accountable for that. You are the one that is responsible for that. And because you are the one that is responsible for that, here is something that you can do about it. And the first thing that he tells us to do is to humbly pray. What does it say next? And then it says, and turn from my wicked ways. Or seek my face and turn from my wicked ways. Seeking God's face, right? Putting His desire and putting His will first in our life. And then turning from our wicked ways. You know what that means? To repent. What are you doing that you shouldn't be doing? What are you looking at on the internet? What are you doing when no one else is looking? Where are you going when no one else knows you're going there? What kind of thing are you harboring in your life? Turn from that. Turn from it. You see what I'm trying to get you to see? It's not about being proud or being boastful. I don't know, maybe because we are proud and boastful. We're in the mess that we're in. Maybe because we point our fingers at everybody else. we're in the mess we're in. Maybe it's because somewhere in our heart and somewhere in a place locked away that we don't let out, we think, you know, if that drug dealer would just stop dealing drugs, that drunk, if he'd just stop drinking, that rapist, he'd just stop raping, if that criminal, if he'd just stop criminal, and never do we ever think, oh, if that Christian would start acting like a Christian. What do you need to turn from? You know, what do you need to turn from? Stop it. Quit. Turn from it. Seek the face of God. If my people, which are called by my name, oh, if they'll only humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Do you see the route for revival? Laid out right there. Pretty simple. Pretty simple to understand, isn't it? Pretty simple to understand, but man, so hard to do. Wonder what would happen if here in this place tonight that every one of us just decided, this is it. It's not going any further. Right now, tonight, I'm going to submit myself. I'm going to surrender myself to that route for revival. What do you think would happen? You see the application in this passage? Notice the application in this passage. What happens next? What are the results? Look at your text. Notice what it says in verse number 14. It says this right there next in the verse. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What's the results? A healed land. What does the United States of America need? Man, we need a healed land. We do. We don't need another person in office. We don't need the right Republican or the right Democrat in office. We don't need that. You know? What we need is a healed land. And who's responsible for that? It ain't Trump. It's us. We're responsible. And God says, if you'll just do this, I'll send revival. I'm just as brokenhearted as you are, you know, by some of the things that happens in our nation. Doesn't it break your heart when somebody goes into a school and shoots some precious kids? You know, man, it tears me up. Somebody locks themselves in a hotel room and shoots innocent people that are going to a concert. Isn't that just insane? And let the next thing like that happen and, man, listen to all of the answers. You know? Almost all of the answers are the wrong one. Every once in a while, you'll hear somebody say, if God's people we'll get serious about following Him, our nation will be different. Man, right on our money, we have stamped, in God we trust. Do we? Do we really trust Him? In God we trust. That's our national motto. Do we trust Him? Oh, God, I want to see revival so bad. And if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's the route to revival. And God wants to send it. You know, way back yonder, when Israel was doing well, they were in a time of blessing like they had not been in for a long time. God told them, you know, just in case things are not always like this, this is what you do. The United States of America is a nation that has been blessed beyond measure. And just in case there ever comes a time and comes a day when we recognize that we're not anymore, what do? You know what I think? I think God wants to send revival. I really do. I believe that. God wants to send it. Now, notice something in this text. Look at your text again. It says in verse 14 again, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. What does he say next? He says next, then, if you do this, then I'll do that. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. God in heaven promising, oh Israel, if you'll just do what I ask you to do, I'll send revival to your land. If you'll just do it, if you will just do it, then I'll do this. Show you how important that is. Look at verse 15. Notice what he says in verse number 15. It says this, now my eyes shall be open and my ears shall be attentive to the prayer that is said in this place. God promises an open eye. God promises a listening ear to those that seek after him. He promises that. The God of heaven promises us that. So why are we so content living as Humpty Dumpty people in a Humpty Dumpty world? Why are we the ones that's supposed to specialize in fixing broken up people? Why are we just as broken up as the broken up people are? Why could it be? Just maybe. We don't humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do tonight. We've been here this evening already about an hour. And I recognize this. The only person that you can control is you. You. You're in this room tonight and you look at your life and you realize that it's not the way you wanted it to be. It's not the way you think God would have it be. But you know, the Father promises restoration. If. What about just you? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you trusted Him? Do you know Him as your Savior? If you turn to Him, He will save you. That's a promise. All that call on me. Right? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you've never called on Jesus and asked Him to be your Savior, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus as your Savior, do it, because He'll save. But probably many of us in this room tonight, we know Jesus as our Savior. That's something that we dealt with a long time ago. We know Him as our Lord. We've accepted Him into our life. He has saved us. And God's spoken to you tonight. And He said, you know, the only one responsible for revival is you. And regardless of what anyone else does, you can be the only one in this room tonight that gets down to serious business with God. You can be the only one that will humble yourself and pray, seeking God's face, and turn from your wicked ways. And I believe the Father wants to bless your life for seeking after Him. Wonder what would happen if one or two or a congregation full of people would decide, I'm going to do what God says to do. It's almost as if I see God looking through the windows, cheering us on. Come on. You can do it. I believe in you. I'm watching. I'm listening. I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting on you to respond like I've asked you to do. And when you respond like I ask you to do, oh, I'm going to pour out my blessings upon you. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from the wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Oh, my eyes, they shall be open. Oh, and my ears, they shall be attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. Oh, Father, please. Please do a work that only You can do in this place tonight. God, I've tried to be obedient to You, God, and preach the text that You gave me to preach. I've tried, Father, to speak in a crystal clear way. Father, I just pray that Your word finds a lodging place in the heart and mind of Your precious saints tonight. Oh Lord, I pray for that man or that woman that has never trusted in Jesus, never accepted Him into their life. Oh God, please, I pray that Your Spirit would just move upon them in such a way that they would see that they have a need to trust in Jesus as their Savior, and that tonight, God, would be the night that they do so. God, I pray for that dear brother, that dear sister in this room, Lord, that you've spoken to. For whatever reason, God, they've just been holding something back. They've not fully surrendered, Lord. And just holding something back. And God, because of that, they're seeing in their life the results of that. And oh God, I pray that there'd be a breakthrough. Oh God, do it. Because only you can. So Lord, I don't know what else to say or what else to do in this room tonight other than to preach and to pray and to ask people to respond. And Lord, I'm going to do that. I'm going to ask people to respond. And I pray that your Spirit, God, does the work that he wants to do in this room tonight. And I pray this in the sweet and lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to invite you to respond this evening. However we do that, we do an invitation or however you want to respond. Pastor Jimmy is going to be here.